The gospel reading for today is written in Mark, first chapter, beginning with the first verse. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah, the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way." A voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him." And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: "After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The word of our Lord and Savior. Thanks be to Christ. We always pray that the Lord would come and sit with us. Open our ears, our minds, our hearts, so that we understand the message he has for each of us today. A circle or straight. That's a peculiar title. I love peculiar titles. You know, somebody might come in. I want to hear that. If you don't put it there, they're not going to say that. So, of course, I have a feeling that some people say, "What's that idiot putting that up for?" Yeah. But it's time for us to break out of endless loops and move in a new direction. That direction is a straight direction. If you like walking, some do, some don't, everyone should. You would love the late 1800s. Actually, I kind of like that period myself. That's the end of the Victorian period. It ran on into the early 1900s. But during that period, walking was a sport. Professional pedestrians packed America's arenas, had pedestrian arenas. People paid good money to come and sit in the stands and watch pedestrians walk around in a circle. You know, that kind of reminds me of something else we do today. We use cars to do it, but it's not a lot of difference. Most of us at times today, and I mean at times, just feel like we're walking in circles. It begins here, we walk around, and it comes back to here. Never goes anywhere. The line never gets straightened out. At the beginning of the Gospel of Mark is a straight line. It's not a circle. It's a straight path from point A to point B. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. That is very different from the American arenas of the 1870s and the 1890s. You know, back then, most popular sports involved the walking in circles on dirt tracks. Men and women raced around the clock for 6 days at a time. And the bleachers of these events were absolutely packed. The sport was pedestrianism. Walking in a circle day after day. According to the Washington Post, and this was in an article of March of this year, March 30th, 2014, these foot racers would last for 148 hours straight. Competitors would stop once in a while to take naps on a cot or for other necessary breaks, but aside from an occasional break, they would push themselves to the edge of physical and mental collapse. And the fans, they loved it. Watching people walk in circle was the best game in town. There were no CDs, no radios, no iPods, no television or computers. Can you imagine? I can't, really, not now. Those are the things that provide our distractions and provide for a lot of our work. We can't imagine being without them. But competitive competitive pedestrians were the country's first celebrities in athletics. Top of the list. Their pictures appear on trading cards. I shudder to think how much those would be worth now, but I'm sure there are collections of them. Some receive lucrative endorsement deals. Dan O'Leary, he's a distant blood relative of Fields. That's why I have to do that, you know. Very distant, but still. He won a race by walking 520 miles. He was a spokesman for Demet Salt. I think he and the Salt have both disappeared now. But John Hughes was sponsored by the National Police Gazette and raced with a newspaper's logo across the front of his shirt. Champion walkers were highly paid. Charles Rowland raced for 6 days in New York and won more than $18,000. That's a good bit of cash, but I want you to consider this. With inflation and so forth, that would be $425,000 today for one race. By the end of the 1800s, pedestrianism was dead. Not because fans got tired or bored watching people going around in circles, but because of race fixing and doping. One famous pedestrian was caught chewing a substance that gave him a definite advantage, and it was unsportsmanlike. He continuously chewed cocoa leaves. We might laugh at competitive pedestrians, but we have to admit that we often find ourselves walking in circles. We keep eating the same kind of junk food. We keep eating the same dessert and wonder why it's hard to lose weight. We tend to move in the same social circles and are very curious about why we don't meet new people. We bring great and good ideas to the administrative board. It's happened right here. I can vouch for this one. But we don't really act on them. We wonder why there's no growth. We worship in spirit and in truth, but fail to tell people that the Spirit of the Lord is in this place. And then we wonder why visitors don't show up on Sunday. We're pedestrians. We're moving in circles. In fact, one of the definitions of the word pedestrian is lacking distinction, ordinary. The time has come for us to break out of our endless loops and do something truly distinctive and extraordinary. Walk the straight path. Mark tells us that the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, begins with the appearance of John the Baptist. Quoting, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way? The voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight his path." Make his path straight, says Isaiah. Take the twists and turns and circles of life and straighten them out. Create a straight line to Jesus Christ, a point from A to JC. John does this by proclaiming in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He challenges people to break out of the destructive cycle of sinfulness by changing their minds and walking in a new direction. I hope you understand that. It's a bit of a paraphrase. He says, by changing their minds. How do you change your minds? You listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. You know, we all try to drive it out. Something we don't want to do. We don't want to be a part of a choir. We don't want to be part of a congregation. So we drive the Holy Spirit out. Then there comes a time when we realize that, well, I think I'm headed in the wrong direction. And we are called to break out of that and go in a new direction. It's the core meaning of repentance. It comes from the Greek word metanoia. For what that's worth, I want everybody to write that down. Greek, metanoia, repentance. That's humor now, don't anybody. Away from apathy, one thing we need to do is get away from apathy and procrastination toward reaching people of Christ. Well, maybe if I feel like it and life changes a little bit, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it when I'm 30, 40. You know how that goes. Time never comes. The changing of a path applies to the church as a part of the body of Christ as well as it applies to individuals. Unfortunately, most people associate the word repentance with simply being sorry. John isn't asking people to be sorry. He's challenging them to change their lives. John's baptism of repentance is better translated, and I'm going to give you a few. This is New Living. To show that they had turned from their sin and turned to God. Pretty good one. Common English Bible, to show that they were changing their hearts and lives. And from the Message, a baptism of life changing. Because people were hungry for life change, they flocked to see God. They desperately wanted break out of their self-destructive, self-centered cycle and move in a new direction. So people from the whole Judean countryside went out. And people from Jerusalem were going out to him. and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sin. The people of Judea had a choice: keep moving in those same old destructive circles or find a straight path. While the ordinary pedestrian approach would be to keep walking in laps, large numbers decided to take an extraordinary step, go out to John, the one clothed with camel hair, with a leather belt about his waist. He promised to put them in touch with Jesus, the one, he said, is more powerful than I, the one who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. We need to give the people credit. They chose to break their sinful cycles and get a straight path to Jesus. And we can make the same choice. As we move another week deeper into the season of Advent, let us turn to God. Begin to change our hearts and lives and experience a true life change. Although our lives often feel like they're endless circles, we can replace our pedestrianism with a walk in Jesus' direction. Along this path, Jesus steers us and straightens us. First, Jesus steers us. He is ahead of us on the road, leading us in the right direction toward a life of love, joy, peace, and simplicity. There's no other road that does that. Simplicity. Linda Dowdy is a retreat leader and spiritual director, and she says, less is more in the Christian life. Cluttered schedules and cluttered closets can lead to cluttered minds and cluttered spirits. I want you to know, she says, can, not must. That lets a few of us off the hook there. As we ascend the ladder of success, she observes, the purest, the most luxurious lifestyle starts to drive all our decisions. This starts eating up our time and money, until when we're going to buy, what we're going to do, become the primary forces of life. Before we know it, our lives are dedicated to the maintenance of all the stuff that we managed to acquire. You remember what Jesus said to the rich man? Go sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. That then come and follow me. He was inviting the man into the life of love, joy, peace, and simplicity. But the man wouldn't do it. He was shocked and went away grieving, feeling anything but joy and peace. He had a cluttered spirit. As we move through Christmas shopping season, let us not let our overflowing shopping carts prevent us from seeing where Jesus is steering us. He wants us to focus on him, not on our luxurious lifestyles. We may have that luxurious lifestyle, or we may not. but things are not what we should focus on. God is good. The answer is all the time. God is good. And regardless of your circumstances, if you're on board with Christ, walking a straight line, many things will come to you. The thing to remember is don't concentrate on them. Concentrate on the straight line toward Jesus. You know, he asked you to give. He asked you to bind up the wounds. He asked you to visit. So in the midst of all of this, don't concentrate on what you've been blessed with by Christ along the way. Concentrate on those things that have eternal value. Lord, when did you know me? He doesn't want us to focus on luxurious lifestyles. You know, I'm not much of a country fan, but country singer George Strait noted in one of his songs, "You don't bring nothing with you here, and you can't take nothing back. I ain't never seen a hearse with a luggage rack." When you decide what you're going to give, and who you're going to give it to, and how you might go about that, remember, you're not going to take any of it. The path is tough to walk. But fortunately, Jesus straightens us. He baptizes us with the Holy Spirit, filling us with his presence and power. The Spirit of Christ offers us love, joy, and peace, as well as other spiritual gifts. And listen to these. Use them in your homes. Use them as you shop, as you eat, in your daily life. These are other spiritual gifts that Christ gives us. Patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's from Galatians. These gifts are the marks of the Christian life and are the clearest signs that a person is moving along the path to Jesus. When the people of Galilee were threatened by false prophets, Jesus said, "You will know them by their fruit." He was aware that some people can talk a good game and make a positive impression, but they lack the inner health and integrity to produce anything worthwhile. They're examples of how the bad tree bears bad fruit. I can turn on the TV and find several. But they're out there. They're still here with us in this day and age. They produce bad fruit. Fruit that's not consistent with our concept of Christ and the message that he taught. We all know that bad fruit comes from lying and stealing, cutting corners and cheating. We see it all around us. Bad fruit destroyed the sport of pedestrianism. After competitors got mixed up in race fixing and doping, their focus was on money, not on the sport. The sport of walking in circles became a race for the biggest payout, and quickly, the entire enterprise collapsed. The same can happen to us if we don't repent, turn toward God, make a life change, and get on the right track. Fortunately, this straight path is available to us with Jesus steering us and strengthening us. If we walk the straight line with Jesus, we'll be able to produce the kinds of fruit that will be good for us and for everyone around us. This is a powerful message for the individual about their individual life. It's all inside. Get it straightened out. There are minor things that we can fuss about. We talked it before. Keep the main thing the main thing. Our belief in God and our faith are the main things. The rest of it we can work with. The same is true of a church. A church is part of the body of Christ. Now, we gather together often down here, once every 3 months for administrative board council? Every other month. Every other month, everyone in this church is invited to be down there. We need ideas for walking the straight path. We need ideas for knowing where Christ wants this church to go. So it's also, to me, a very powerful message from the gospel and from Isaiah about what we should be doing in our committee. And when we have a good idea, let's not say, well, you know, it's been 10 months, it's been 12 months, it's been a year and a half. Yeah, we liked that and we said we'd do it. Nothing done. I don't want anybody to tell me that hasn't happened, because I got one right in my back pocket. Maybe more. We can do better. If we walk the line with Jesus, we'll be able to produce the kind of fruit that will be good for us and for everyone around us. Let's not get out of our endless loops. We're in them. And walk in a new direction. Let's walk from point A to point JC. In his name, amen.